Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to give us more knowledge, Father, of this your word and the truth and depths and revelation of it, Father, so that we can walk stronger and in more and with more obedience, Father, so that we do not make errors and stumble along the way. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're in chapter 8. And we'll also probably be going into chapter 9. We'll not get through all the way through chapter 9 because it's not a real short chapter. Chapter 8 is only 13 verses. All right. Now, we're in Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. We know that he went back to heaven, sitting on the right hand side of the Father. We know that he had sent the Holy Spirit back to be with mankind on the day of Pentecost. We also know that if he had not went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit could not have been sent. He told us that in the four Gospels. Now, verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which is the Lord, which the Lord pitched, and not man. We'll talk about the true tabernacle. Now, three. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. That's what the priests were for. They were to make those sacrifices and offerings with their prayers and all to the Lord God for the people of that day and time, that their sins be forgiven and they would be done. So we know that Jesus when he gave his life on the cross, he took all of our sins, sicknesses, and diseases to the cross with him. He offered up his own self, his own life for you and I and for our sins. That's why our sins today are covered by his blood. Now, verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Well, we know all about that because, like I say, as we've been going through the Bible, we've studied about the law, the setting up of the law, and just what God spoke to Moses and had Moses speak unto the children of Israel. We've been going through all of that. Now, 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. We know God told Moses exactly how to establish the tabernacle that they carried with them. How to fix it so it could be carried the whole world. Now, 6. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. This 6th verse here is telling you not quite a bit. I'm going to read it one more time. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Everything about it is better. Because you see, the Lord paid the price. It was not the blood of bulls and goats. It was his own. blood shed for us. 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But we know that it wasn't faultless. And we know why. All of us that have read the Bible and have received the understanding. Now here it is. So finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. 9. Not accounting to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, we know he had made a covenant and all with them, but we also know how they constantly complained and murmured. And they really didn't walk in and keep that covenant. And at one time, they really broke it when they had Aaron to make them an idol to worship and then throwed a big party honoring it with all kinds of sin and things going on during that party, even sexual sins. Now, pardon me just a moment. Verse 10. So this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Bringing man close, in closer. And making things really easier for him to reach that point. It's not hard. But he has to make the choice to whom he really wants to serve. And whether he wants to serve the living God, or if he wants to serve Satan and the things of this world out here. Now his flesh is going to want a lot of the things of the world. But the spirit has to be kept clean, pure, and looking to God. For us to get out of this life and make heaven our home. A lot of mankind today is not seeing that because of the things they want of this world. And for most, it's not just things. They can want something, but they want the very best of that. It doesn't matter that something that's not that expensive would work just as well. But no, that won't do. You know, as an example of what I'm speaking about, you take our phones. I have a phone that costs me very little. It's a flip top. Most don't want that. Yet it serves the purpose real well. Because it's through that right now that I am reaching out around the world over the internet. It's doing its job fine. And it didn't cost me no $1,000 or so. But a lot of them out there, that's what they want. Now, 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see, once he forgives them, they're gone. 13. In that he saith, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. We have come now to the end of chapter 8. We're going to be going right on into chapter 9. We'll see what the Lord has for us, where he'll take us to. In verse 1, it says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. We know how he set up that first tabernacle and all. It had all of these things. And after the second veil, tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, that only the priest could go in. Now, in fact, only the high priest could go in. Now, 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the garden pot, the golden pot, that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded tables of the covenant. You see, that golden censer, the altar of incense, and it was physically located in the outer first chamber, whereas the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies, actually it contained only the ark of the covenant. Now, here in verse 5, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Six. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. That's where the priest would go. into that first tabernacle. Seven. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. You see, he was the only one to go in there. The others worked in the first part, the first tabernacle, part of the tabernacle. Here in verse 8, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Let us know exactly. That Holy Spirit, you know, he was showing that man did not possess direct and complete access to God the Father, and would not be able to while the tabernacle with its Mosaic law still stood. In other words, as long as it would last. But you see, our high priest, when he died and was resurrected, went back to heaven. That was all fulfilled. And that tabernacle then had been completed also. And no longer to be used, because it did not give man access, direct access to God, where the blood of Jesus gives forgiveness of sins, and our faith and trust in him. We could go through him and go directly to our Heavenly Father and speak with him in prayer. You see, we've been given that access, plus a whole lot more even than that we've been given. And a whole lot more than just forgiveness of sins. Because we are to be workers of the word of Almighty God. We are vessels that house the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to work here on this earth. To be used by them to complete the work so that the Lord Jesus Christ will be able to come back for his church, take his church out of this world, and then a short period later, he will return back to earth to set up his millennial reign. That 1,000 years. Think about that. That 1,000 years. All right, now, verse 9. which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now you see, when we talk about being perfect, we're not talking about this body being perfect. We're talking about the spirit reaching that perfection of Almighty God. That's what the Word of God speaks about. And it does tell you in that to reach that point. Now, but you see, under the Mosaic law, that couldn't be done. Now, 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diver washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. In other words, until the time of Christ. 11. But Christ, being a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once and two the holy place. He entered in once. And when he entered in, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, when our Lord and Savior entered in, he only entered in once into that holy place. But he obtained that eternal redemption for you and I. 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, he said here, if that blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, if that could have sanctified us to the purifying of the flesh, he's asking a question now here in 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's what it was all about. He offered himself. A man that had lived his life here on this earth, although he was also the Son of God, but yet he was man in the flesh, tempted in like manner as we all are, and yet he was without spot. He had no sin. And that, you see, is why he could purge our conscience from dead works, change our lives from being evil to doing good and serving the living God. Now you understand why I've always told you that Hebrews is a favorite of mine. 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 15, he's explaining there all about it and about him being now the mediator of the New Testament. He is the only way now to God. He is the only way now to make heaven our home. And we have a way now to stand before our Heavenly Father and speak our hearts to him and to receive his messages to us, his guidance, his love, his blessings. They all come through the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we go through him to get to the Father. Now, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. We're told there. He had to die in order for the New Testament to be a force or in force, which it now is. 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. In order for him to be the New Testament in our lives, he had to die. Then he was resurrected and went back to heaven to live and to send you and I the Holy Spirit that gives us everything we need in order to be able to live this word and to make heaven our home. Now 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Now we know that. We know what that blood was. 19. Goes on. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. That was the blood of the new, of the old Testament. We call the Old Testament, they called it the first. Now, 20. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, every time they needed to be forgiven, there had to be blood spilled again. 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now, you see, it took better things to get all of this really pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's why he is called a mediator. 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. You see, he gave his life once. 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh boy. Praise God. 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, we will all one day, this body, we are going to leave it. We call it death. And the Bible here is calling it death. But you see, that life is not going to stop. 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's going to appear that second time without sin unto salvation. Pardon me a moment. You see, Christ as a man and as the Son of God, with his sacrifice, he had to go through death, but he only had to go through it one time, naturally. You see, the second comparison really seems evident beyond that there exists another reality. For man, it is the reality of appearing for judgment. For Christ, it is the certainty of appearing with deliverance from condemnation for them that really look for him and will look to him and accept him, ask him into their lives. He's not going to force himself on you. You have to invite him in. And then he'll come. Because he loved you enough to go to a horrible, horrible death. Took 6 hours on that cross for him to die. With all the pain that was going through his body as he hung there. Think about these things. And I know that if you think about that pain that he bore and was buried for you, you're going to cry many a tear. May God have mercy on all of us through his love. He gave us his son, the greatest gift God could give to mankind. So we would have a way to return to him as his children. And we have finished with chapter 9. We're going to be going in, God willing, this evening. At 6, we'll be going into the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel and peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. No rejection. So that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has brought so much evil upon its own people, help us to replace our leadership in our government and in our churches and all, Father, with those that are people of yours, people of righteousness, people that will look to this land with love, your love, wanting the best and helping us to bring that change about, Father, so that we can put this government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting him back into every place he was taken out of. Father, help us with these things. Help our churches all to come together in your church, in your word. None teaching contrary to your word, Father, but all teaching according to the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, for those that are sick and in distress, I'm praying for them to be healed, Father, that they will reach out and accept the healing that has already been given. Because by the stripes that Jesus bore, we are healed. That's your promise. That's in your word several times. We know, Father, that you keep your promises, that you do not lie. We just have to receive and be thankful for it and believe beyond any doubt. And we'll see things happening, come about. Now, Father, I do pray for their healing. And I'm also asking, Father, for your blessing upon this ministry, the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit given unto us to use the name of Jesus as we speak to others. And may the Holy Spirit give us the words to say, Father, flow through us with thy power to bring about the fulfilling of whatever the needs might be at the time. And we ask all of this, Father, in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. And God willing, we can be back together this evening at 6 p.m. So until then, bye-bye.